Well, tonight, like I said, it's Thanksgiving communion service, and I believe that this is just something that God delights in. When his children come and give thanks, any parents in the place will understand and know that when your children say thank you, it blesses your heart. In fact, when it's not even your children, when people say thank you, isn't that right? And anybody ever did something for somebody and they didn't say thank you and you were just like all mad about it afterwards, like, they didn't even say thank you. But when you give and when you do something or when you love or when something goes on and somebody comes back to say thank you, it blesses your heart, doesn't it? And I believe that tonight this blesses the heart of God when his children gather together and when we simply say thank you. Ushers, once again, on this far side over here, hopefully you guys have some more. There's some in the front and some in the back that are just so patiently and wonderfully waiting. All right. We will make sure to have a conversation about how we can do better in the future to distribute this. So we'll make sure to think on that and plan that out for the future. But tonight, as we approach the communion table, the Bible is very clear. I want to take you to some scriptures in 1 Corinthians chapter number 11. 1 Corinthians chapter number 11. And while you're turning there, I'm going to pray. Father, thank you for tonight. We're so grateful as we gather together, your people called by your name. God, as we approach the communion table tonight, we approach with a heart of gratitude. And God, we want to do what you would have us to do, the way that you would have us to do it. So lead our time in your word. God, we lift your word up above our thinking and above all else in our life, God. We are following you. Holy Spirit, come and speak to us tonight in Jesus' name. Every agreement said, amen. Amen. 1 Corinthians chapter number 11, starting in verse number 23. I want to direct your attention. This is the Apostle Paul. He's writing to the church of Corinth. Corinth was a different type of a place than maybe what we think. You know, we think about Bible times and the churches that Paul is writing to, and we think that they had everything all together. And yet, the more I learn about the Bible and the more I see the nature of people, I can see that these were people just like you and just like me. They had questions about God. They were in different parts of their journey with God. They were learning. They were growing. They were passionate. They had an excitement in them, and yet there were still some things from the world that they needed to get out of their lives, areas that they needed to grow. And so he starts to talk to them about communion, and they weren't doing everything right with communion. I mean, to be quite frank, some of them were getting drunk when they were gathering together for communion services, and he says, you guys shouldn't be doing that. And he says, you know, this is a place where we approach, and there's a way that we're to approach. And he says this in verse number 23. He says, for I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. Verse 25, in the same manner he also took the cup after supper, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. Verse 26, for as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till he comes. Now, many times I've been in church services throughout my lifetime that people would stop right there and we would just take communion. As a child growing up in more traditional church atmospheres and denominational experiences, things that I had growing up, many times I would partake of communion. But as you read on in verse number 27, remember, this is not a new section, even though there might be a title and there might be a new number in our Bible. They didn't have this back when this was written. This was a letter that was written to the church. And so it's a continuing thought, and it's the same context. It's the same thought about communion. He says, therefore. That word therefore is there for a reason. In other words, because of what I just said about Jesus saying to do this, do what? Receive communion in remembrance of me. Therefore, whoever eats this bread or drinks this cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. Now, when I read that, I think, oh, no, I don't want to be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. I know that my sin is what took him to the cross because he needed to redeem me, but I don't want to have that guilt laid on me. It says this, verse 28, but let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of the bread and drink of the cup. So we have to look at our lives. We have to take a look inside when we approach the communion table. Verse 29, for he who eats and drinks in an unworthy manner. Two times in three verses he says the same thing. Now, when God starts to repeat himself, we ought to pay attention. Is that right? I know with my kids, when I say, hey, all of a sudden they sit up and they take notice. So here's God, and he's saying in an unworthy manner that there is a worthy manner to come and approach the Lord's table, and there is an unworthy manner to approach. So he says, for he who eats and drinks in an unworthy manner eats and drinks judgment to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. Wow. That means that if we partake in an unworthy manner, there is judgment that's coming because we didn't rightly discern what was taking place. We didn't remember. He says this, verse 30, for this reason many are weak and sick among you, and many sleep. Other translations would say that they died. Why? Because they didn't discern the Lord's body. Because of that, they were eating and drinking judgment, and with judgment came weakness, sickness, and death. Verse 31, for if we would judge ourselves, we would not be judged. This is where we take a look on the inside. We examine ourselves to see whether or not we're partaking in an unworthy manner or in a worthy manner. Now, we know that from the scriptures that there's not one who is worthy except Jesus. And it's only through his imputed or given, if you will, it's a gift that God gives to those who believe on his name that we can become worthy. You see, the very first thing when we approach the communion table, we have to look on the inside of ourselves and see whether or not we're worthy or unworthy. What does that mean? Are you a Christian or are you not a Christian? Are you a believer or an unbeliever? Sometimes people say, well, Pastor, I'm a Christian. I was raised in church. I've been to communion services. Maybe you took classes in order to receive communion. You might have wore a cross or a St. Christopher on your neck. Maybe your parents had you baptized or christened as a child. And you were born in America. America's a Christian nation, or some nation that has a segment of their nation that's called the Christian segment. And so everybody born in our area is a Christian. We're not any other religions. We're not Buddhists. We're not Muslims. We're not Hindus. We're Christians, right? Wrong. Did you know that nowhere in the Bible does it say that your upbringing, your family association, your location on the earth, the jewelry you wear, the classes you take, the religious rituals you're involved in will get you into heaven? There is no default setting. That because you're not some other religion, that by default, God lumps into the category of being a Christian, you get to head for heaven and deny hell. Sometimes people say, well, Pastor, I'm a Christian, not because I was raised in church, but as an adult, here I am sitting in church in front of you right now, here I'm watching online on a Wednesday night. It's not even Sunday and I'm in church. I must really be a Christian. But did you know that nowhere in the Bible does it say that you sit in church service and call yourself a Christian or watch one online that makes you a Christian? Nowhere. Nowhere in the Bible does it say sit in church, call yourself a Christian that makes you a Christian. It's like me going to my garage saying, I want to be a car. I'm a car. Beep, beep, vroom, vroom. I'm a car. I'll never become a car. I'll just be some dude that's sitting in his garage. I'll never take people inside of my body 65 miles per hour down the freeway without the help of some other vehicle. Same way you can't just sit in church, say amen, hallelujah, call yourself a Christian, that makes you a Christian. It's not going to work. You say, well, Pastor, hold on, because I'm a Christian because I know God. I know about Jesus, know about Easter and the resurrection. Sing the songs at Christmas every year of my life. I've got scriptures memorized, Old and New Testament. Doesn't that mean that I'm a Christian? Well, no, because the demons believe and they tremble. The devil knows who Jesus is. You'll find him quoting scripture. He's not a Christian. See, it's not about what you have up there in your head that counts. You say, oh, okay, I get that. You got to do something with your knowledge. Don't worry about me. I've been a good person, done a lot of good deeds, been nice to my neighbors, kind to my family members. God wants us to be good. In fact, I got involved in my last church, helped out, sang in the choir, carried the pastor Bible, made decisions. People thought of me as a leader, even got a membership card to that church. I think I've been good enough to get to heaven. Do you know that nowhere in the Bible does it say you can be good enough to earn your way into heaven? You're not going to make it to heaven. You're not a Christian because you're good. There's going to be a lot of good people, according to the world standards, that die and end up in hell, because that's not how you're going to make it to heaven. And tonight, we need to understand that it's not about your upbringing. It's not about what you know. It's not about what you've done good or the works that you've done to try and earn your way into heaven. That's not going to make it. And tonight, if that's how you're going to approach the communion table, you might as well not ever open up that little cup that you received. You might not want tonight to partake of those elements because, remember, it says that you're eating and drinking judgment on yourself, not discerning the Lord's body, and you're eating and drinking in an unworthy manner. Or you can come to God the way that God prescribes. You see, not all roads lead to heaven, and we can't be good enough to earn it. But you also can't be bad enough to keep you out. The Bible says that Jesus has paid the penalty. He's paid the price for our sins. That's why we talk about the Lord's body, because his body was broken open for us. His blood was shed for us. And he says that now that we are to look to that cross and surrender our heart and life to him. And when we do, he does something on the inside of us. He makes us brand new. Really, the only way to come to God in a worthy manner is if you are born again. Not physically, but spiritually. What does that mean? That means that you've surrendered to God all of your heart. You've surrendered to God all of your life. When you do that, God comes in and he gives you a brand new start with a brand new heart. And tonight, maybe you came into this place and as you've been examining yourself, you said, well, wait a second. I don't think that I should eat tonight. I'm coming in an unworthy manner. I don't want to eat and drink judgment on myself. I want to come in a worthy manner. Well, the only way to do that is that you must be born again. And tonight, I want to give you that opportunity to do just that, to surrender all of your heart and to surrender all of your life to Jesus Christ, because there's no other way you're going to make it beyond just being able to eat and drink of communion tonight. How about this, an eternity with God in heaven forever? How about this, his presence in your life for the rest of your days on the earth? How about this, not dying and ending up in hell for eternity? Tonight, you need to give God all of your heart. Tonight, you need to give God all of your life. Be born again. Change your trajectory. Change direction. You can head for heaven and deny hell. And tonight, you can eat and drink of communion in a worthy manner. In a moment, I'm going to count to three just like this. One, two, three. And when I say three, I'm going to pop my hand on this microphone. Bang, just like that. When you hear the sound of my hand pop on that microphone, bang, that's your opportunity to simply raise your hand. And listen, tonight, it couldn't get any easier. Not going to make you stand, not going to call you forward or anything like that, because I know sometimes people think, what are they going to do to me if I raise my hand? I'll be embarrassed. Listen, this is as painful as it's going to be tonight. But the reason why I'm having you do this is because I want to lead you in a prayer to invite Jesus in your heart. You can be born again. But I want to know who I'm praying with. And Jesus said these words. He said that if you confess me before man, I'll confess you before my Father in heaven. But if you deny me, he says, I will deny you. So tonight, it's your call. It's your choice. You can sit there and do nothing. And you made a choice. But I would encourage you to pass on receiving communion tonight. Or how about this? Make the right choice. Giving God all of your heart and giving God all of your life. Being born again. And then tonight, you can eat and drink in a worthy manner. Won't even be embarrassed. My goodness, I'll count your hand. You can put it right back down online. You can just throw that hand up for a moment and then put it right back down. Now, some of you might be thinking, but wait a second, Pastor, I prayed a prayer at one time. Isn't that enough? Did you follow it up with all of your heart and life? Because if not, God sees past the words of your mouth to your heart and your life, and he knows where you're really at. I think you know in your heart of hearts, too. Maybe in this place tonight, you are just unsure about your salvation. Maybe you've messed up a lot, and you're thinking, well, wait a second. I've done a lot of bad stuff, and you don't know what I was doing last night. You don't know what I was doing before church tonight. Let me clean up my act and then I'll come to God. No, you come to God and he'll clean you up from the inside out. Remember, you get a brand new start with a brand new heart. God will clean you up starting on the inside and it'll work its way into your actions and activities. Sometimes people think, well, Pastor, I've got more time. Leave me alone. I want to do my thing. I'll make a deathbed confession when I'm good and ready at the end of my life. I want to live my life my way, and then at the end, just like that thief on the cross, God will let me in. He's so gracious, so kind, so loving, and so good. Listen, I know God is so gracious, so kind, so loving, and so good, but he's also not a fool. He sees your life. He sees the motives of your heart. Those things will be exposed on the day of judgment. You're going to have to answer for those things. But even if you did have such an opportunity, how are you so sure that you'll have that moment? See, we're all one accident, one incident, one virus, one bomb, one breath away from eternity. And Jesus could come back at any moment. You are not guaranteed more time. You're not guaranteed a deathbed confession. You're guaranteed this time and this moment. You need to make the right choice. Sometimes people are so rebellious or they're so finicky that they say, Pastor, I feel like you're pressuring me. I don't want to feel pressured into this decision. Well, listen, the devil's on the other side pushing you just as hard. And I'm not letting up because he's not letting up. I love you too much for that. I don't want to see you die and go to hell. I want to see you head for heaven. I don't want to see you eat and drink in an unworthy manner tonight, and eat and drink judgment, sickness, and weakness and death on yourself. I want to see you eat and drink in a worthy manner and receive all the goodness and the blessings of God on your life. Tonight, who should raise your hand in a moment if you've been running from God instead of to God? I'm speaking to you. Who should raise your hand if you're not sure about your salvation? Make sure. Who should raise your hand? Maybe you've never done this before. Could have been in church all your life, but you never crossed that line, giving God all of your heart and all of your life. I'm speaking to you. Finally, who should raise your hand? Maybe in this place, you're lukewarm, half-hearted, backslidden, and you need to come home. You need to make a fresh rededication to the Lord. You can do that. Maybe as we've been examining ourselves, you said, no, I really did give my heart and life to the Lord, but I haven't been doing what I should. I don't want to eat and drink in an unworthy manner tonight. I want to eat and drink in a worthy manner tonight. You might need to just make a rededication to the Lord. You can do that. And like I said, couldn't get any easier. This is all it's going to take tonight is a simple raising of your hand. I'll see your hand go up. I'll count it. And then you can put it right back down. And I'll pray with you right there in your seats. Couldn't get any easier. But you need to do the one step tonight towards God. And God will take care of the rest. You need to raise your hand, acknowledging your need for Jesus, getting ready to surrender all of your heart and all of your life to Jesus. I'm going to count to three. Pop my hand on this microphone, live and online. Get ready to get your hands up. One, two, three. Let me see your hands. Just raise them up high. Hold them up, hold them up, hold them up. I'm going to start on this side. Okay, keep them raised high. Okay, there's one, two, three, four, five, six, seven, eight, nine, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, 20, 21, 22, 23, 24, thank you, guys. God bless you. 25, 26, 27, 28, 29, 30. Thank you. 31. Yeah. 32, 33, 34, 35, 36, 37. Thank you. 38, 39 in the family room. 40, 41. Thank you. God bless you. There's 41. If I saw your hand, you can put it down. If I did not see your hand, just give me a little wave right now. If I have it, is all right, wonderful. 41, 42. Got you right there. 42, 43. Yeah. Good choice. 43 wise people. Who else tonight? Need to give God all of your heart. Hey, 44. Yeah. Awesome. They're pointing back in this direction. I'm looking for you. Just give me a little wave if I don't see you. A little wave. Sometimes motion helps. Anybody else? All right. Yeah. Yeah. 45, 46, 47, 48. Amen. 48 wise people. Anybody else tonight? Come on, number 49. Number 50. You're sitting there wondering if you should do this. Yes, yes, absolutely. Is there 49? 49, thank you for the way. Appreciate that. That's awesome. 50, wonderful. I think I got more hands pointing than I do being raised. Hold on, hold on, hold on. I know we're ready to clap. Everybody's excited that we hit a big round number, right? 50, that's great. But I don't want to stop this. If you were on the fence, you're wrestling and struggling inside, you need to do this. 51, excellent, yeah. Go ahead, you need to do it. 52, good call. Good call. Listen, there's no shame. I didn't embarrass them. I won't embarrass you. 53. Excellent. Excellent. Yeah, I got you. Thank you. God bless you. Put your hand down. 54. 55. Anybody else? Just want to give you one more moment. And then we're going to pray together. Like I said, can't get any easier. Can't get any easier. Oh, hey, wonderful. 56. 56 wise people. Anybody else? Last call. Last call, and then we're going to pray. Anybody else? When I'm looking in your direction, just get that hand up real high. 57. Fantastic. 58. Got you. 59 in the back. Yep. 60 right here. Awesome. 61. 62. Phenomenal. 63. 64. Yep. Anybody else? Come on now. Let's give the Lord a great big praise. Hallelujah. Amen. Wonderful, wonderful, wonderful. We're going to pray, like I said, right there in your seat. Would you bow your heads and close your eyes with me? And just from your heart, especially those of you that raised your hand, but those of you that maybe you were still bashful, but you know you need to do this. Even online, come on, join us in prayer if you raised your hand or you should have raised your hand. Just pray this prayer from your heart. Say, Father God. Come on, everybody say it together. Say, Father God, I come to you tonight in Jesus' name. I give you all of my heart and all of my life. Please come into my heart. Be my Lord and my Savior. Fill me with your Spirit. For I believe that Jesus Christ is your only begotten Son, that he came and died for my sin and was raised again to life so I could live with him. Thank you, Jesus. Let it be known that from this day on, I am saved. I'm born again. I'm headed for heaven, denying hell. Lead me for the rest of my days and teach me in all of your ways. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Can we just give the Lord a hand for our new brothers and sisters? Hallelujah. Amen. We're so thankful for you guys. Tonight, after church, we're going to have some friends that will be out there in the foyer. We'll remind you of this at the end of the church service. If you prayed that prayer from your heart, we want to just encourage you and follow up with you. We have some free materials and some friendships, some relationships to help you get strong in the ways of the Lord. There's no commitment worth anything without consistency. So I want to encourage you, as you exit tonight, you'll see them waving the materials up above their head. They'll have some badges on that say spiritual personal trainer. You say, what's that about? Well, physical trainer is at the gym, spiritual personal trainer here in church. And they want to just connect with you for a quick minute. So go and just grab a hold of those materials, connect with them for that minute, and then you can head on out tonight after we dismiss. Hey, I've got a quick exhortation from the word of the Lord for you guys tonight. Real quick online, those of you guys that prayed with us as well, after we dismiss tonight, there'll be some instructions for you to get a hold of those same materials and those same connections. Tonight, it was kind of fun as I was studying and preparing for tonight, praying about what God would have me to do and what this service should look like. I know many times at this point, we'll go and we'll break out the cup and we'll have one person talk about the body and another person talk about the blood. But I came across something in my notes that I had been holding on to for a portion of this year. And I found some of Pastor Jim's old notes on what develops and maintains a heart of gratitude. And I adapted the notes because, you know, preachers, we write the notes for ourselves and we know what we're talking about. But some other preacher comes along and reads our notes and we're like, what are you talking about, Willis? You know, it just doesn't, or Jim, I guess I should say in that case. But I adapted the notes because I thought it would be great for us to develop and maintain a heart of gratitude. And then we're going to receive communion. So quickly tonight, I want to just run through some things, okay? What develops and maintains a heart of gratitude? First thing is this, is love. Love develops and maintains a heart of gratitude. I remember I was walking and I found this door. I've got a picture. Can we throw the picture of the door up? I attached it to the notes. There it is. Look at this. Jesus loves you. 1 John chapter 4, verse number 19. I took that picture with my cell phone because I just needed that reminder in my life. And don't you know that when you know that God loves you, that there's a response that comes. When we get a revelation, there has to be a response, right? And 1 John 4:19 says that we love God because he first loved us. Notice the revelation of God's love causes us to love God back. But did you know also that the revelation of love also causes us to be thankful? I'm so thankful for the love of God. I'm so thankful for my family and my friends that love me. And love will develop a heart of gratitude. Turn with me to 2 Thessalonians. I'm going to run through this, all right? So we're going to go fast. 2 Thessalonians, if you can't keep up, that's okay. We'll put it up on the overhead. 2 Thessalonians chapter number 1, verse number 3. Look at what it says. We are bound to thank God always for you, brethren, as it is fitting, because your faith grows exceedingly, and the love of every one of you all abounds toward each other. Notice, he says, I've got to give thanks for you because you guys are out there loving people. That's a part of the reason why it's developing a heart of thanksgiving. And it's causing gratitude, but it will also maintain a heart of gratitude. I know that sometimes we encounter and experience things in life that are unloving, or maybe there's a loss of love in our lives. I know that it can be hard when someone should be around the Thanksgiving table that's not, whether there's been a breach in the relationship, a death, or something that's taken place, even distance. When people move, it might not be a bad thing, might have been a good thing for them, but there's that loss at the table, and it can be hard. And yet, if you will remember the love, if you'll remember the love of God, number one, and the love that was shared, the good things, my goodness, it will keep your heart grateful. Second thing is this, what develops and maintains a heart of gratitude. Second thing is care. Care. Isn't that interesting? Care will develop and maintain a heart of gratitude. Turn me to the book of Romans chapter 16, right there at the end of the book of Romans. We're in Romans in the mornings on the weekends, and we're in chapter 3, so I figured going to chapter 16, we won't be there for a couple of years, so should be okay. You guys won't remember this by the time we get there, but Romans 16, I won't remember it by the time we get there. Verse 3 and verse number 4, look at what the Apostle Paul says. Sometimes we run through these verses when we read through a book, and we don't think that God's saying anything, but look at what it says in Romans chapter 16, verse 3 and 4. He says, greet Priscilla and Aquila, my fellow workers in Christ Jesus. Okay, so greet these guys. They're a power couple, right? This is the couple that trained up Apollos. the famed preacher. So they must be something special. And he says, greet them for me, right? The Apostle Paul is greeting this couple. But look at verse number 4. He's not done yet. He says, who risked their own necks for my life. Wow, look at the care that Aquila and Priscilla had for the Apostle Paul. They stuck their necks out for him. They risked their lives for him. And look at what it developed and maintained in him. It says this. It says, to whom not only I give thanks, but also all the churches of the Gentiles. Everybody else is thankful too. Wow. See, the care that they showed for Paul made him grateful. How about the story of the 10 lepers that came to Jesus and they asked for healing, and Jesus said, go show yourself to the priest. And as they go, they realized, oh my goodness, we're healed. And there was a Samaritan among them. He was a foreigner. And he ran back the moment he learned that he was healed. And he fell down and he worshiped at Jesus' feet. And Jesus says, wait a second. Weren't there 10 that were healed? Where's the other 9? Has only this foreigner come to give God thanks? Now, think about this for a second. Because Samaritans were outcasts. They were half-breeds, half-Jewish and half-Gentile. That's the other nations of this world. Maybe the Assyrians, maybe the Babylonians. And they came back to Israel, but they couldn't be included in the genealogies of Christ because now there was mixture in their lineage. And so they were cast out and they were looked down upon. But Jesus showed care for someone who was an outcast. And what happened? His heart developed gratitude. And he came back to give thanks. We know the pain of being an outcast. We know the pain that we felt when we've been pushed out and set aside or cast aside. And yet, when we realize the care that God has for us, maybe the care that a great church has had for us or somebody that we've known and loved, my goodness, it develops and maintains a heart of gratitude. The next one is this, is generosity. See that generosity will develop and maintain a heart of gratitude. I want to read to you 2 Corinthians chapter number 9, verse number 11 in the Passion Translation. Now in 2 Corinthians chapter number 8 and chapter number 9, the Apostle Paul is encouraging the Corinthian church to give. In fact, he starts to talk to them about other people's generosity to stir them up to be generous. And in the midst of that, he says something profound. He says this, he says, you will be abundantly enriched in every way. Hold up. That's quite a statement, isn't it? Not just enriched in every way, but abundantly enriched in every way. How? As you give generously on every occasion. See, the principle of sowing and reaping cannot be stopped. God says the more you sow, the more you will grow. And there's going to be an enriching of your life in every way as you give generously. And look at this, on every occasion. For when we take your gifts to those in need, it causes many to give thanks to God. Notice generosity causes people to say, oh, thank you, Jesus. Wow. We saw that this last Saturday when we went door to door giving out Thanksgiving baskets. In fact, one of them came to church and gave their heart to the Lord this past weekend. And now all of a sudden, all of us are giving thanks and praise to God. Isn't that amazing? I remember when my wife and I were in Bible college, we were back east and we were working at a big box store and we had some friends there and they were a couple that came together in a blended family. Between the two partners, they had 7 kids between the husband and wife. 7 kids, all right? That means 7 kids plus mom and dad, that's 9 people. All 9 of these people had to get carted around in 1 minivan. Do the math. Someone sitting on the floor or in the trunk. And so when we left for the summer, we came back home and they were like, hey, you know, could we maybe borrow your car if you're leaving it during the summer? We're like, yeah, sure. There was no AC in the car. And we said, that's not really a blessing, especially we were in Oklahoma at the time. And some of you guys know in Oklahoma, the humidity, you can literally cut it with a knife and like pull it out. You know, it's nasty. And so we were like, there's no AC. And they're like, we don't care. You know, we'll sweat it out. And so we're like, fine, here's the keys, you know. And so we left. When we came back, we got the car back. And every now and then they would borrow the car. But I remember my wife and I, when we were getting ready to go home, we were going to drive a big 25-foot truck with all of our stuff in it. And then the other car, and we were like, well, what are we going to do with this other car? And we told God, man, we would love to bless people. We'd love to be generous. And so we had it in our hearts. We'd love someday to give away a car. You know, I would love to give away a car. And so this was our opportunity. We said, hey, this couple, they need another car. We have a car. We need two drivers. We got three vehicles to go back. Why don't we bless them on our way out? That would be so wonderful. And I remember going into the store and meeting them up in the front of the store. We called them both together and we said, hey, we just want to let you know, we love you guys. We're so grateful for your friendship while we've been here. And we just want to bless you on our way out. We want to give you this car. I remember the lady in particular, her eyes lit up. She had big blue eyes and she just went, oh, praise God. I think the people in the back of the building shook, like, whoa, what just happened right now, you know? Power just went out because of her thanksgiving to God. And they were just so grateful. They both were breaking down, crying and in tears. But see, it was generosity that developed that heart of gratitude. Generosity will develop it in others, but it will also develop it in us. And the last one for us is this, is remembrance. What develops and maintains a heart of gratitude? Remembrance. Love what Philippians chapter number 1 and verse number 3 says. He says, I thank God every time I remember you. See, when we remember, it causes something to happen on the inside. That's why tonight, as we were singing some of those old songs, oh my goodness, our hands started to lift. The tears started to flow. Why? Because you remember when you were down and out. You remember before you got saved. Remember what life was like. You remember when you were sick, broken. Remember when you were bound. You remember. You remember the good things that God did for you over the years. How he took care of you and carried you through all of the adversity, all the trials. How he healed you. I mean, some of the biggest things for me, I remember how God healed my kids. So grateful. Remember how God delivered you from the bondage to sin. How he fought your battles when the enemy was coming against you, racking your brains. You remember God's provision when you didn't know how you were going to make it. When you were desperately looking for those things that you saw in God's word and you just wondered, why is it waiting so long? And then you remember the day God brought you that provision. You just remember, and it causes gratitude. It causes thanksgiving. Luke chapter 22 and verse number 19 says this. It says, and he took bread, gave thanks, and broke it. This is Jesus. And he gave it to them, saying, this is my body which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. We're going to get ready, and I would encourage you to just get your little cup ready, and we're going to partake of communion in a moment. But I thought that maybe before we did, we would just take some time to remember as we sing. Come on, let's just take a moment to remember.
When I think about the Lord, how he saved me, how he raised me, how he filled me with the Holy Ghost, how he healed me to the uttermost. When I think about the Lord, how he picked me up and turned me around, how he placed my feet on solid ground. So give thanks with a grateful heart. Give thanks to the Holy One. Give thanks because He's given Jesus Christ, His Son.
And as you do that, I'm going to invite Pastor Brian and Melissa. Grab that microphone and come on up. I'm thankful for this couple. They just did a married night recently, and they are just a beautiful help to this house. Go ahead and lead us.
You know, I was reading this morning out of the book of Job, and Job was defending his innocence. And instantly, I started giving thanks to God because, see, Jesus didn't defend his innocence, but he laid his life down for our guilt. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you freely gave your body to be broken. We thank you, Heavenly Father, that because you gave yourself willingly, we now have the opportunity to freely serve you. And as we partake, Lord God, let us never forget what you did for us. Let us never take for granted the price you paid. Let us never forget the cost for our freedom. We thank you, Lord. We give you honor. We give you praise, and we give you glory. This is your body, which was broken for us. Take, eat, in remembrance of me.
Pastor Joel and Jenna, would you come and lead us in the blood?
Leviticus 17:11 says this: the life of the soul is in the blood. Peel off the cellophane. You know, when we take communion, it's a special moment where the blood that was spilled, not only for our sin, but the Bible describes healing for your body. If there's any sickness among you, the Bible says pray. Call the elders. I'm a recipient of that healing. So every time I take communion, I'm reminded of how God healed my body. Now, I'm not exclusive. This blood given to us, because the Bible calls Jesus the sinless Lamb of God, when that sacrificial offering was given, that was divine access for you to proclaim all that blood and what that blood meant. Healing, provision for your sick soul, any brokenness in your own mind, God now provides a way where you had no way at all. And this is why communion is so special, because God is so generous to do this supernaturally that we couldn't do it on our own. We come to the communion table, it's a holy table. So we're going to pray. Father God, I thank you, Lord, today for providing the blood of the Lamb. That blood, that sacrificial blood that no man could deny. Because the innocent Lamb of God went before the throne of heaven and gave us access, salvation, miracles, signs, and wonders poured through his body for the people to be saved, healed, and delivered. Where, Father God, that Passover lamb that was described in the Old Testament and the new lamb that was provided in the New Testament and the declaration of the lamb provided in the book of Revelation, where every one of heaven's angels, including the angelic host, are singing, glory, glory, glory to the Lamb of God. That perfect lamb is our lamb. This is what you've done for us. We are a grateful people. Partake this evening and take his goodness, his sacrifice, and his provision in Jesus' name.
Thank you, Lord. You can remain standing tonight as we prepare to conclude. I just want to encourage you as you head to the dinner table tomorrow. My goodness, develop and maintain a grateful heart. Love the people. Be generous. Care for them. But most of all, remember, don't forget this table tonight that you came that you partook of. Carry that with you tomorrow. Give thanks to God, even among those that maybe aren't Christians, maybe they're unbelievers. You can still be grateful to God. They may not understand it fully. They might even mock you. That's okay. They'll get there. Love them to life. Don't condemn them to death. Amen. I just want to express Pastor Jessica and my deep felt heart of love and gratitude for you all. It's a privilege and an honor to be your pastors. Know that we pray for you and we're grateful for you before God. When we think about you guys, my goodness, no greater joy that we have than we know that you guys are out there doing the will and the way of the Lord. And so we love you guys so much and we're grateful for you. Enjoy today, enjoy tomorrow, and be blessed this weekend. This weekend we're gonna be back in church, okay? Saturday, Sunday, all day. All right, come on back and let's have a great time, okay? No tryptophan comas from all the turkey you ate, all right? So wake yourself up on Saturday and Sunday. Come get to church. We're going to have a great time together. Can I bless you guys as you go? Would you lift your hands to the Lord? Remember, on your way out, those of you that prayed that prayer and gave your heart to the Lord, there'll be some friends out there with some materials for you. And online after we dismiss, there'll be instructions for you as well. But let me bless you right now. Lift your hands to the Lord. Father, these are your people called by your name. They're blessed in the city, blessed in the field, blessed coming and going. May everything they put their hands to, they prosper. Lord, with a great big shout of faith about our area, we declare that the Inman Empire shall be saved.
What a blessing it was for the Lord God tonight.
Hey, thank you so much for joining us online. If you just gave your heart to Jesus and prayed that salvation prayer with our pastor, congratulations and welcome to the family of God. Here at The Rock, we want to get you plugged in and set up for success as you start this new walk with God. In a moment, I'd like for you to head over to our Respond to God page by clicking the link provided in the comments where you can fill out your information so we can provide you with some free materials. We have a booklet called Welcome to Your Destiny, Easy Steps to a Successful Future with God. We'd love to mail you this paper copy if you are within the continental United States. If not, don't worry about it. We have an electronic copy in PDF format that we would be happy to email you. We also have a comic book we'd love to send out for any kids that have made a decision to follow Jesus. It helps explain their new walk with Jesus in a fun and age-friendly way. We not only want to provide you with these free materials, but if you live locally, we would also like to get you connected with a friend. A spiritual personal trainer, or as we like to call them, SPTs, who can help guide you through your new relationship with God. We encourage you to connect with the local church in your area. And if you are in the Inland Empire, remember, you're always welcome here at The Rock Church. Well, it was great hearing the Word of God with you guys today. We can't wait to see you at our next service. And remember, God loves you, and so do we.